at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Thousands of residents in far north Fort Worth are being told to boil their water today because it might be contaminated. Restaurants are closed, schools have shut down water fountains, and the city is handing out bottled water. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports on how residents are coping.
The city started handing out water early this morning, first from small tanker trucks and then in packages of bottled water. The Fort Worth Water Department says an operational error meant an elevated tank was accidentally drained. That caused water pressure to drop Wednesday night. Bacteria and other microbes may have entered the water system, so the Texas Department of Environmental Quality required the city to issue a boil order. The order only applies to water for drinking, cooking, and making ice. Crystal Cox picked up bottles of water at VR Eaton High School. This mom of three kids and an Australian shepherd says it's not much of a burden.
Well, I find myself boiling water for my dog, which is quite silly. Would never thought I'd be that dog person. My kids aren't, they don't really care. They love not having to brush their teeth this morning, so, or taking a bath. But other than that, I'm pretty grateful that, you know, they're hooking us up.
Tina Cooper is also nonchalant. She's a school bus driver. She didn't find out about the water problems until late this morning.
I just wanted to be prepared. So that's the reason why I came and got water. So I didn't know anything about it because I was already out so early this morning, but just want to be prepared.
Brittany Patton says she drank some of the water last night before the city's warning came out, but she says she feels fine. She has a 3-year-old and a 5-month-old who's on formula.
We use a lot of water in our house. Luckily, I saw it this morning before he got his morning bottle, but it was a little bit unexpected this morning.
The water department will continue handing out bottled water until the ban is lifted. The city is testing the water, but won't know if it's contaminated until tomorrow morning at the earliest. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Since the Syrian conflict began in 2011, some 4.5 million people have fled the country. Today, on a special edition of Think, Chris Boyd explored the challenge of balancing humanitarian efforts and security and economic concerns before a live studio audience. Guests included former U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker, Texas State Senator Don Huffines, and Jennifer Syme, Senior Vice President of U.S. Programs for the International Rescue Committee. Producer Gus Contreras has this wrap-up.
As a U.S. ambassador to Syria and other countries in the Middle East, Ryan Crocker got firsthand experience living among the people now fleeing their homes. And he says they're not really that different from Americans.
Syrians and Iraqis share some common traits. Before conflict swept through the two countries, they were, broadly speaking, middle-class societies and societies that prized education. Also, neither Iraqis nor Syrians expatriate easily or readily. They're attached to their countries, they hang on if they possibly can, and the fact that millions have fled the country is a pretty stark statement of how bad conditions actually are.
With 10,000 Syrian refugees expected to come to the United States by the fall of 2016, State Senator Don Huffines told Chris Boyd his main concern is the safety of U.S. and Texas citizens.
This is about safety. It's about security of the United States. It's about security of Dallas. It's about security of Texas. Dallas resettled approximately 2,000 refugees last year. The state of Texas did approximately 8,000 last year. So we do
Excuse me, Frodo, were there problems with those resettlements?
Not yet. But just because we haven't had a problem doesn't mean we don't need to be prepared for the future.
One thing all three panelists agreed on, religion shouldn't play a role in refugee screening. Here's Jennifer Syme with the International Rescue Committee.
If we are going to have a true refugee resettlement program in this country, we have to accept refugees regardless of their country of origin, their religion, their ethnicity. You know, we cannot start making distinctions about good refugees versus bad refugees. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
This special edition of Think with former U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker, State Senator Don Huffines, and International Rescue Committee's Jennifer Syme re-airs tonight at 9. You can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. For KERA News, I'm Gus Contreras.
A new type of weather radar is being tested in North Texas. It was used during December's deadly tornadoes, and it has a long name, Collaborative Adaptive Sensing of the Atmosphere, or CASA. Mark Fox is with the National Weather Service in Fort Worth, and he joins me for a look at the future of Texas weather technology. Mark Fox, thanks for joining me.
Anytime, Justin.
Now, a team at the University of Massachusetts built this CASA radar system. But what does it do specifically?
One of the things that it does is try to fill in some of the gaps. So we've got network radars all across the country, quite a few of them, one in Fort Worth. The next one is down in Granger, Texas, and to the west, it's at Abilene. So as the radar beam goes out, you know, the Earth curves down and away, so you get higher and higher as you go out. The CASA radars are a network of smaller radars that are designed to see the low levels very fast and very quick and try to fill in some of those gaps from the bigger, larger network radars.
What is our current system that we use?
Current system is called NEXRAD, and it's still a very good radar. And in fact, it's one of the basic tools that we use at the National Weather Service, not only the one in Fort Worth. There's a terminal Doppler radar at DFW and also at Love Field. So to see underneath those radars, we're testing out the CASA program. So we're taking a look at every piece of information we can.
So CASA isn't to replace NEXRAD. It's a supplement. It's to give more information.
Absolutely. It's definitely a supplement. If you walk into a room with a bright flashlight, you're going to only see so far. The CASA radar is developed to have your kids also with the flashlight to kind of look around the rest of the room to see what else is out there. So it is not replacing NEXRAD. It's definitely a supplement to it.
Does CASA have the ability to help us during a storm, or is it more of like a tool for analysis later?
Meteorologist's favorite answer here. Yes. during the 26th, we were able to see something funky, a little circulation down around Waxahachie Airport, and it was about the time when we had a 105-mile-per-hour wind gust recorded at that airport. So especially after the fact, we were able to take a look at this teeny tiny feature and put two and two together, and then we were able to pass along that we do most likely have some enhanced wind damage in this localized area, and that turned out to be the what everybody's calling the Ovilla tornado up around Red Oak, Glen Heights, that area.
Now, I hear that storm spotters are used sort of to like bridge the gap.
Absolutely.
And that CASA may eventually replace storm spotters.
I'm not sure if we're ever going to be able to replace the human element. That is a good thing with the CASA radars, that it is fast and it is high resolution. But when it comes down to it, it is a tool. And you need another tool to supplement all the tools out there. So using the radars, the network, the NEXRAD radars, plus the CASA, plus the human spotters, I think that is the ideal goal here.
So Dallas-Fort Worth is sort of a test bed, I mean, in the sense that how you learn to use it here will be used to teach elsewhere on how to use
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, because all weather tools, weather information comes with a price. You got to know how to use it before you can really pass that along to people like you and me to help save their lives. And we're still learning to figure out what is really useful and what might be in the noise.
Mark Fox is the warning and coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Fort Worth. Thanks for being here.
Anytime, Justin.
There will be no need for those severe weather radars, at least for the rest of the week and into the weekend. Things look to be pretty clear for the coming days. Tonight, you can expect clear skies with a low around 33. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 59. Tomorrow night looks to be partly cloudy with a low around 37. And the weekend, it's much of the same. Saturday, sunny with a high near 57. And Sunday, also sunny and slightly warmer with a high near 62. It's 51 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.